The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me, through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Actions of the Apostles. This whole season of Easter, our first reading, which during the other seasons is always from the Old Testament, this first reading in the season of Easter is always from the book of Acts. And if you don't read any other book of the Bible this summer, read the book of Acts, because it's pretty wild and woolly. The disciples are always in trouble. Today's lesson is no different. Paul and Silas are preaching the good news. They come across this slave girl who apparently is a fortune teller. Yeah, they had those back then. Apparently some of them are actually pretty good at what they did. But this girl was being exploited. She had slave owners who were making a bundle off of her visions. But whatever spirit was in this girl also kept shouting after Paul, "These men are from God. These guys know God. They serve God." And I don't know, it wouldn't be all that bad to be pre-announced before you walk, walk somewhere or show up at a crowd, but Paul, it says, was annoyed. And he cast out that spirit, and the girl couldn't fortune tell anymore. Notice that the lesson doesn't say she got annoyed. Who was angry that she couldn't tell fortunes anymore? It was her owners. They were losing income. They were losing profits. And so they had Paul and Silas thrown into jail with some trumped up charges of, "Well, they're Jewish, and they're not letting us do our own thing." Now here's where the actions of the apostles truly become the actions of the apostles. What do Paul and Silas do when they get thrown into jail? And they get beaten with sticks and shackled in the innermost chamber of this prison. What would you do? They sang hymns. They praised God. Can you imagine? These are the actions of the apostles. Now I'm going to pause for just a minute and say, apostles is not a fancy word for long ago and far away and people who had special gifts. Apostles are people who were sent. That's basically what the word means. They were sent with the good news. And now you know the rest of this story. The shackles fell off. There was a big earthquake. Paul and Silas were miraculously released from prison. The prison guard thought he was going to be treated worse than Paul and Silas. How could this happen on my watch? And he was at a point of wanting to commit suicide. But the apostles stopped him. They said, "Don't do that." And he came to believe in the living God. Not because they were fiery preachers on a street corner telling them to repent, but because even in the midst of being imprisoned, being beaten, being flogged, they represented the spirit of Jesus by singing hymns, by praying, by remaining loving in the spirit. And so as this guard is about to throw himself on his sword, literally, the apostles said, "You don't need to do that." And in that moment of compassion, he believed. They were sent that he might believe. And it all started with a story about fortune telling and slave owning, and it's all connected. And I think that's what I want to point out most to us today, is that it is all connected. Even as we come to worship on a Sunday morning, if you notice in your bulletin, we have the worship service laid out in four segments. The gathering, the word, the meal, the sending. The gathering, of course, starts early on a Sunday morning. If it's snowing, somebody's here shoveling snow before anyone gets here. The gathering starts a little more when Ray and Lois show up and put the coffee on. More gathering. Jay or Dave Bloom show up. They open up the church and get the lights on and get it all ready for us. The choir shows up and starts rehearsing. And we come into this space together with whatever burdens or wounds or joys we bring with us that particular day, this particular day, the Lord's day. We gather because we belong. And we sing songs of gathering. And we repent of our sins that we might hear the good news with a clean conscience. And so after the gathering is the word. And this is where we find ourselves in the story. And this is the part where I think it's so remarkable how the Holy Spirit works. I think Julie was talking about it, Kaylee was talking about it, that the word works on each of us in different ways. You find yourself in this story in a way that meets you today. But it also finds the person next to you to meet them. And the person on the other side of you. Because you belong in this story. It's good news for all people. And then the meal. That great unifying meal. I know many of you have thanked me for an open welcome to the table, making it clear that everyone's welcome. Last Sunday, I was at a congregation in St. Paul where our seminarian Anders is singing in the choir there. And he's helping out with, he's doing his contextual education there. And we gathered, we heard the word, and here's the welcome that they read. Actually, they have it memorized, they recite it before communion. They say, "This is Christ's table. It's a table of love and welcome. It's a table of fellowship with the poor. It is a table of communion with the earth. So come, those of you who have great faith, and those of you who wish you had more. Come, those of you who have tried to follow Jesus, and those of you who have failed. Come, those of you who depend on this meal for your life, and those of you for whom it is a strange thing. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." This invitation to the table, often spoken as we prepare to receive communion, reveals much about who we are, what we believe, and how we celebrate communion. Holy Communion is celebrated weekly, and everyone without exception is invited to receive the bread and wine. It is one of the few places in our world where nobody is turned away, and where everyone who comes with hands outstretched receives the same amount. Our celebration of Holy Communion is shaped by our conviction that God's abundant love is an unconditional gift and extends to all. In keeping with our Lutheran tradition, we believe Christ is truly present in, with, and under the bread and wine. God sees our hunger for more than bread and fills us with abundant life. When we receive communion, when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we are nourished in Christ's presence, which strengthens us in love and service to our neighbors. What a welcome. It's a welcome like Jesus talked about in the gospel lesson for today, where he talked about unity for all God's people. God has a vision where we all come together. Sunday morning is just a small representation of that. Do you believe yourself in this story? Are there people that you know that find themselves on the edge of the story, who haven't found that welcome yet, who don't know the all-embracing love of God? Because the part that comes after the meal is the part where you are sent. Just like the women at the empty tomb, and Jesus says, "Go and tell." Just like the disciples. Just like Paul and Silas. We are sent because the world doesn't need more fear. Picture that jailhouse image with Paul and Silas in the jailer. The world doesn't need more fear. It needs to see more of us singing hymns, embracing our jailers, if nothing else. You know, Jesus said, love your enemies. Why? Three times in our gospel text today, Jesus says, I'm doing this so that they believe, Father, that you sent me. Jesus was sent. Three times he talks about that. He was sent. That we might know love in a way that the world will never teach us. That we too might be sent to go and serve. And so the very last thing we do at the end of the worship service is send you out. Our assisting ministers choose a couple different possibilities. They'll say, go in peace, serve the Lord. And you will say, or they'll say, go in peace, remember the poor. And you will say, and that is our commission, our sending into the world. Now, there's so many ways that you are sent. You don't need to be an apostle. You don't need to risk jail time. Maybe you are one of those marvelous quilters who chip away Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday all year long to make these wonderful lap robes that are in the pews today. We celebrate that ministry. 186, is that the right number this year? 186, they'll go to cancer centers and veterans homes and hospice, and we save a few for baptisms. Or maybe you're a prayer warrior. There are some folks who aren't all that mobile anymore. They say, what can I do? And we say, pray. That's the most powerful tool we've got. You do it in loving and serving your neighbors. At home, at work, at school. You do it by being present for one another. One day we will all be one as God envisions. What we do today and the rest of the week, that's just practice. You are sent. But you are not sent alone. You are sent with the power of the Holy Spirit, the companionship of Almighty God, and surrounded by the church of God in heaven and on earth. Go in peace, serve the Lord.